Hello, everybody. Welcome to All Talk, All Ashes, the podcast that covers all things Ashes of Creation related. My name is Ferenczi, your variety MMO gamer, and I am joined by my brother, Subjective.
Hello, all. Again, MMO enthusiast and longtime WoW player here.
All right. Yeah, and if you are unfamiliar with the podcast, we kind of just break down different information about Ashes, dev streams, conversations, and we just kind of dig into all things Ashes related. Again, trying to give you some information about different parts of the game, spur some conversation. Again, we are two MMO veterans, so we have a lot of experience with different MMOs, so hopefully you find our conversation a little interesting. And today, we're doing something a little bit different, calling this a quarterly catch-up. We're one quarter of the way done with the year, which is pretty exciting if you're in Alpha 2, because hopefully that means we're just, you know, a couple quarters away from getting our hands on the actual game. So quarterly catch-up, I think the goal today is just kind of like, you know, talk about some things we've seen, maybe just talk about some stuff going on within MMOs in general that we feel is maybe worth chatting about. But I think that's kind of the plan for today. So we'll see how everything goes. And I think, Sub, you're going to kind of lead us off. What was on your mind that you wanted to talk about in this kind of catch-up?
A bunch of stuff, but mainly I'm going to cover like the first three dev updates and how the game is progressing for the first three updates. We're also going to give our opinions of maybe when Alpha 2 will land an actual... These are just our opinions and just for future references of when the game is going to actually fully release. And then we're going to talk about the state of the MMO industry in general and maybe some technologies that have been emerging. And then endgame content this week. So... with that being said, we'll start off with the first three dev updates, in my opinion. And my opinion is, each one's gotten better. Like, yeah. They all are impressive, and they are getting, like, each one is progressively better. The last one was, woo-wee, 90 plus minutes long, and that was a long one. It was a three-hour stream overall, but I think it was great. Like, graphically, the game looks fine. Combat is really coming in. I'm noticing little changes overall, you know, like just little things. Again, I started watching, I think at the beginning of last year, and though each dev update was progressively better too. And they're continuing that trend this year. So good stuff.
I mean, definitely. I definitely agree. I think even like going into like the end of last year, like, that's really when I started paying even more attention, like really digging into like the dev updates. Like, it just feels like, it feels like you can tell the game is like coming together. It's not just like a small showcase of like, oh, here's this like tiny bit of this class or like something like, you know, freeholds, which was all awesome too. But like, this is genuinely like there was the freehold update last year, I believe. And it was like, it was part gameplay, but there's also like a PowerPoint presentation just for stuff like that they couldn't show us. Now we're just getting like into the game. We're actually getting to see combat. We're getting to see like even in like the fighter update, like the archetype update, like we got to see like, you know, like a side quest. We got to see a ton of combat. They were traveling through the world. So like, to me, that says like the game is actually like progressing, right? If you're able to show off not just like kind of small tidbits like in isolation, but you're also getting to see other things happening in the game as well. So I think it looks really good. Like, here's a question. Like, what was your favorite, like, kind of dev update so far, either this year or even, like, dipping into early or the end of last year?
I'm just going to go from this year. It was a Caravan update by far. It blew my mind. Like, I know it was choreographed, but still, like, the fact that they just were walking around and then they go over the water, turn it into a raft. They have some fight. Like, I want to play that now. Give me that. I want to start fighting in the game over that. I just want to be an archer sitting up there and like laying down on the guys on the raft. Like, I live for that. That's the stuff I love. And like, I really can't wait to see all the tools. Like, even Alpha 2 won't even have it all, but just having some of them will be fun and just seeing how it organically plays out. And then castle battles, and like, sign me up. I already am signed up, but, you know, sign me up again.
No, I agree. I hate to like give the same answer, but that was kind of mine too, is definitely the Caravan PvP. I think just because like, I'm such, obviously it's PvP, which I love, and then also just the fact that like, to me, when I look at like caravans, like, to me, that's like a legit potential in-game kind of like gameplay loop, like something I could see myself doing a lot of, because there's probably gonna be like a lot of like variants to it. It's not just gonna be like, oh, we go to point A to point B, like there's really nothing to it. Like obviously there's gonna be a lot of like, you can hop onto the water like in a riverboat, and maybe there's some like water combat, and you know, obviously like they've talked about like having progression paths for like the caravan. So again, maybe you could have like a really fast caravan that's like more easily killed, or you know, whatever. Like all that sounds really fun to me, and like also just again kind of ties in potentially to the economy, the player economy, which I'm really excited about. You know, potentially like taking people's stuff, you know, making it your own, and you know, have the crafting implications for all that. So yeah, I definitely agree. And obviously PvP was kind of just fun to see a little bit of that, but yeah, I think the caravan, both in terms of just like getting to see like the combat between players, as well as just the fact like the potential implications on like the long term gameplay, something that I could see myself doing a lot of, was really nice to see.
Oh, I'm gonna live in PvP. I'm not getting the big details because we covered that in our previous podcast, but yeah. Like, give me that PvP. Here's a better question for you. Right?
Yep.
We are April, we got another dev, they should be announcing, it's April 14th when we're recording this. They should be announcing soon, I believe this week coming up, the week coming up, they should be announcing the new dev update, the topic. Anyways, now that we don't know any, like between now and Alpha 2, which is between July 1st and I believe the end of October, if you had any topic that they could either revisit, because they've done a lot, or they haven't covered yet, is there anything you would want them to dive into for an update?
That's a good question. Selfishly, I would say I definitely would want to see like the rogue, just kind of like see like a rogue archetype, just to see kind of like how it looks, how it plays against supposedly the most mobile of all the archetypes. So I really want to see that mobility. As I'm kind of like thinking about like Alpha 2 and like what class do I want to play, you know, assuming we have access to most of them, or so that would be definitely selfishly. I definitely really want to see more about anything like about the economy. That would be really fun to see. Maybe like the castle sieges too, like digging into that a little bit more. There's some, I think some, still some uncertainty about that. So yes, I definitely think, yeah, selfishly I want to see the rogue, and maybe more so I'd also like be kind of interested in just seeing like more about the economy and how everything's going to kind of play out, or the nodes. But yeah, I don't know. What about you?
I am very interested in the player economy side of things. Now, they have covered stuff before, but I kind of want to see more on it, like a bigger deep dive, like on the crafting. Like, the PvP is the most hype for me, but obviously obviously we've seen some on that, so I'm a little sad. I'm decently satisfied on the PvP, but we've seen the caravan kind of, I guess, the caravan update kind of like made me less thirsty for the PvP updates, because it was pretty good, but always would love to see more PvP updates. But I would love to see just a player economy update or crafting update in general, and how maybe just even like a sped up process of like they just show how the nodes grow.
That would definitely be pretty interesting to kind
because. Yeah, that's my most interesting thing. Like, we know, like, from all the info we have, like, I know some about PvP, I know about Castle Sieges, blah, 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 blah. I really want to see some, you know, player trading going on in an update. And maybe they can't pull it off because they need, you know, more people playing it. But who knows? Maybe they can do cool stuff like that. And when Alpha 2 is actually out, and they can just be like, hey, bunch of us players in Alpha 2, and they're like, Would you guys wanna help us with a dev update or something? I'd be cool to help them with that. I mean, but I want to see economic stuff. I don't know why. Yeah. I just want to.
I mean,
I feel like it's the biggest thing I haven't seen much.
Yeah, about. I think it's gonna. I mean, it sounds like a massive part of the game, and we kind of talked about it last week when we kind of get into the discussion about like should you lose mounts, or like should weapons eventually like degrade to where you can't use them? Like, cause I mean, that's a big question for like, is do we have a truly 100% player run economy? And obviously, you know, that doesn't mean, like things can't drop from mobs and stuff like that, but ideally it shouldn't be gear. Cause if you're dropping gear, then that's, kind of takes away from potentially the economy. So I definitely want to hear more about that and like just how 100% player owned it is and things like that. I'm going to sidebar a little bit. You mentioned like getting into like the PvP, and maybe this will take us off the rails slightly. Again, quarterly catch up, we're kind of getting into like the MMO sphere and just talking about like MMOs too in general, but something I saw like an interesting Reddit thread. I think it was in the Ashes Reddit. I don't remember who started it. I apologize. But it was talking about how like every major PvP focused MMO has either failed or you know, basically gone, you know, the
struggled.
Routes. Yeah, struggled. And so I thought that was kind of interesting and something that I, you know, hadn't really thought about. Are you concerned about Ashes? Because obviously PvP, it's very open to PvP. Potentially you could get PvP you know, griefed, you know, pretty easily, depending on how, you know, things kind of work in the corruption system and all that. But is that something you're concerned about for Ashes? Because, you know, Steven has kind of alluded to it is maybe going to be, you know, more PvX. It does seem like there's going to be a lot of opportunity for PvP. I don't know. What are your feelings about that?
I would say anyone who's interested in Ashes is always going to be concerned about how the game turns out. But I feel like at least they're listening. The devs are really on top of the game. Like, Steve is, it's his game, obviously, but he cares about feedback. So again, when Alpha 2 launches, it's not going to be ideal for anyone. It may not even be playable for a week or two, but depends on how many people are in and if the systems are running. They're clearly on the path to that. You know, there might be server issues, yada, yada, yada. But if the devs are engaged, which they are, like, they're really engaged with their game, and they're taking feedback to heart, you know, hopefully they can address, my baseline is 80% of the problems in a PvP MMO, because you're never going to address them 100%. You're never going to have all players satisfied 100%. So you want to aim pretty high. I would say, I won't even say 80%. Let's lower that to 75%, because no matter what you do, you're never going to please everyone. And if you can at least make a gameplay loop that's fun for a majority of the players, even if it's not perfect, maybe I won't like the PvE in Ashes. Maybe I won't. If I enjoy at least the crafting in PvP, that's good, right? Maybe I won't. Yeah. It's like I play Guild Wars 2. I don't like the PvE in that game. I love the PvP, and that's fine. But just remember, like, they just don't throw certain game aspects of your game under the bus if you're going to develop it. Like, it let PvPers enjoy their PvP, and then if you need to keep updating it and, you know, balancing it, whatever. And if there's PvEers, don't throw them under the bus either. You know, it's like, it's hard. It's same with crafting and trading and all that stuff. It's just like, I don't expect updates, you know, every few weeks. You know, if something's wrong with PvP, if like there's pressing issues with a certain part of the game that they need to fix, they should fix it fast, right?
Yeah.
But like, I would like to see at least, based on how organic the game is looking so far, I would like to see maybe them throw out new content for XYZ, or like, you know, maybe crafters get some new patch that focuses on them, and then PvPers get something, then PvEers get something, and just, you know, they don't have to throw me content all the time, just, you know, enough. Like, yeah. if it, since it's a player-run game, hopefully mostly the player-run stuff will be organic, but throw us new toys now and then to, like, mix it up a little bit. Definitely. That's what I want.
Yeah, and I think it was interesting, too, just kind of reading about that thread, too. Like, a lot of the, I think one thing that's hard is a lot of the PvP-focused MMOs, a lot of the ones that are more open-worldy, sandboxy, a lot of them are pay-to-win, right? So that can be a major issue with being, you know, a lot of these MMOs that are PvP that don't work out, BDO, you know, games like that, where ArcheAge, where they are, you know, they have pay to win elements within them, and that can kind of cause a lot of issues for PvP. Again, Ashes is, as far as, you know, everything that's been said, it's going to be like cosmetics only, subscription. So should hopefully be no issues with pay to win. So like that can be like, okay, well, if all the PvP MMOs or most of them have like pay to win elements, it's going to be hard to be successful for a lot of people. You know, obviously if you swipe, then you probably are having a good time. But I think that's one thing to think about as far as that. But yeah, I do think the biggest thing that always worries me is like, how much are they going to have mechanics or like data tools, like things that they can kind of look at. I remember, I think you played with me when we played ArcAge, they did like a relaunch, and very early on, I think it was like after a couple weeks, there was like an exploit, if people were using like a gold exploit or something like that, and like, you know, they banned some people, but like there was a lot of gold that got pushed out into the world. And again, you know, we don't know what happened maybe to all of it. So like who benefited from getting that gold from the people that were using the exploit. And like, you know, basically other than banning some folks, like that's all that happened. And so like you ended up with kind of like a, you know, a pretty messed up economy because some people really benefited from maybe, you know, they got to, you know, people that exploited bought stuff from them and were spending a lot of gold. Like that's the thing that's a little scary, particularly in a player-run economy and open game, like an open sandbox game, is like, do they have tools to like track down gold? Do they have tools to like, you know, recognize unusual like exploits or like people coming into a lot of gold? Because I think that's going to be a really big question, because, you know, it's just, if you can't address that stuff early, or if that stuff happens and you can't like take away the gold, then that's where things get kind of ugly, I think, like on a PvP or like a player run economy type, like, you know, game, is when you can't address those types of issues.
Yeah, and I don't, yeah, we were talking about ArcAge Unchained, the gold exploit, where I think, yeah. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but all I know is you could just do like X quest over and over and get tons of gold and then power level yourself like to crazy, and they didn't really do much about it. They might have banned a few people, but they didn't really remove the gold or anything, and it kind of tainted the game. And I'm gonna throw you another food for thought on that same issue, is like, it's not only about dealing with those things you just talked about, it's also about dealing about the outside things. Is like there may be no pay to win in Ashes of Creation, but players will find a way to create that by literally trading for real money. They'll buy gold, like WoW does.
Real money.
Like trading. In World of Warcraft, Blizzard just does not deal with the real money trading at all, because they don't care. They literally don't care. Like, Season of Discovery came out, everyone's buying and selling gold, real money trading like crazy. You know, and they don't do anything about it. Then they're like, okay, phase two, we're gonna ban what they call GDKP runs, which is gold. You go into the run and you buy the items with gold, you bid on them, right? So they decided to ban that. It's just, Blizzard does not do enough to discourage that. Not only do they need to ban the seller, but they should probably ban the buyer and remove the gold. They don't have to perma ban them, you know, maybe a 24-hour ban for someone who bought the gold, but they gotta also remove the gold and then remove the item if they use that money.
Yeah.
So it's always a battle. It's a never-ending battle. Even if the game does not have these systems of pay to win built into them, you got to fight the outside systems that players will engage with anyways.
No, that's definitely a good point too, because I play Escape from Tarkov, and like real money traders, RMTers, are like, you know, you might say at face value, like, if it's just real money trading, well, okay, does it really affect me? And obviously it can, right? If people are trading for like gear and stuff like that, that can make a difference. But the bigger issue is like, when you have issues with like real money trading going on, is it encourages other behaviors that can be really problematic. And maybe in an MMO, it's usually sometimes harder. A lot of things are maybe server side, so it's harder to do certain things and you know, cheat in certain ways. But like in Tarkov, for example, it's hard because it encourages a lot of cheating, right? Because like, it's, if you cheat, like whether it's like being able to find loot, whether it's just like aim hacks or wall hacks or whatever, you're obviously going to be a lot more successful, like getting out loot and being able to sell that loot to people, and, you know, all these different things that you can kind of do, or like sell accounts, right? So it kind of, when you don't kind of like stymie this issue, like real money trading on the outside stuff, as you kind of mentioned, then it can kind of lead to a whole massive host of issues. And one of the biggest things with Tarkov is cheating, is it causes us a lot of issues. And a lot of that is because of, you know, RMT, real money trading stuff that's happening in the game. People are trying to get, you know, make real money by cheating and kind of using cheats to help them do that. So yeah, it's a big issue. And, you know, I know with Blizzard, like, there's been a lot of, you know, issues, and fairly so, like them getting some heat for it, because, you know, they got rid of a lot of their customer service folks and stuff like that. And, you know, that's why I think it's so important to have in an MMO, like, you know, whether it's like data collection tools, you can see, all right, hey, this person got a huge spike of money. You know, being able to track that type of stuff in an automated level is really important, because, you know, then hopefully if, you know, they invest into some good customer service reps, you know, and I don't think you need that many if you have good tool sets, like kind of at your fingertips, like, oh, hey, like an account just got flagged for getting a ton of money. Like, how did that happen? And being able to kind of track that down. Well, if you can track that down, then you can ban the account, you can get rid of the money. All these different types of things can happen that, you know, keep the game flowing and fair for everybody. And so that'll be kind of interesting. And obviously, I don't know how much they're going to ever reveal about that, like how much they can do that, because they wouldn't want people to know about that. But that is definitely something I'll be, you know, paying attention to if we start running into issues with like exploits and, you know, gold popping up out of nowhere and all that kind of stuff too.
Botters too. Like I said, they're never going to be able to catch everybody 100%, but they at least need to make a significant effort in dealing with those types of players, like ban them, get rid of them.
It's always a battle for sure. Like, cause you never,
it's a never ending battle.
Yeah. The key is to, like, you always have to make sure you're making it more costly for the person that is botting, right? Whether that's like having the game cost a certain price, or, you know, the subscription fees and like stuff like that or whatever, right? It has to be more costly. Otherwise people are just going to keep doing it. They'll just, you know, take a little bit of a loss.
Yeah, I mean, Blizzard is starting to try to crack down on it more, but I feel like they should have done this years ago. Like never give your cheaters the tool. Like I said, you just said, like, maybe they don't want to get into how they're dealing with it. Never give the cheaters the information on how you're dealing with them. But, you know, at least make an effort. I feel like Blizzard has, like I said, you can just go on YouTube and look up anything and, like, how people... Like, people may, there are YouTube videos out there, like, when Classic came out, I was like, there are not, look how many rogues are in Blackrock Depths, BRD would be the short name for it, and there's, like, there'd be hundreds of them. Like, people, players were pointing out this problem, and nothing was being done about it, so, if they just make an effort, like, I'm sure when the game launches, people will find cheesy ways to do things. Now, you can't really complain about it until the game actually launches. Like, if there's cheesy things in alpha, well, people are going to find them, and then you report them to the devs, and then they'll fix them. So it's more about when the game actually launches, and, you know, you start realizing this place is really good to farm, and people start botting there, and then, you know, I mean, at least if the devs are aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
Now, they're not going to be able to catch everything on their own, but yeah, if they got to be able to, you know, have good tools for players can report, and also players playing the game can't expect perfection. You know, just like you can't expect the game to be 100% balanced, you can't expect them to catch everyone doing every little thing. You just need them to do good enough. Is basically,
yeah. No, I definitely agree. It's a never ending battle. You're never gonna win it outright, but just, are you making an attempt? And obviously, it's hard to tell, because, like I said, a lot of times they don't want you to know what they're doing, because obviously, if cheaters and botters and all this stuff become aware, they can get around it easier. But, you know, it's definitely like, we played Dragonflight for a bit, and I would see, you know, even somebody that hadn't played the game, and it was very easy to see, like, the people that were botting, you know, just kind of going around to, like, getting the resources and stuff like that. So it was very obvious. So the goal is to hopefully make it not obvious. And, you know, the same with Tarkov, like, you know, like this last wipe, it felt like there was way more cheaters. And I think some of that was because we actually got more tools. Like, we could actually see people's, like, stats, like the people that killed us, which we couldn't do in the past. So maybe it was just getting more information. We didn't realize how much it was happening. But it was just kind of an interesting little tidbit tangent to go on there. But I think it's important, something to think about, something to talk about, because especially for an open world game, a player run economy type game, that you want to be thinking about definitely these types of things. I don't know, did you want to dig into Alpha 2 like a little bit?
Yeah, let's not talk about, yeah. I mean, we could talk about how to deal with cheaters forever, but
Oh
I
yeah,
mean,
for sure.
let's so like I said at the beginning of the podcast, we're gonna throw out our opinions for a release date for Alpha 2. Will it get delayed? Will it maybe not? We're also gonna throw out our opinions for actual release, which will be, these are just for future, you know, so you guys, so if as our podcast grows and you guys can be come back and laugh at us and be like,
Yeah.
wow, you were wrong. Okay.
You guys
These
are
are
way off.
not, yeah, so when we throw out these dates, we are not trying to bash the game. We're trying to be realistic. You know, Steve isn't rushing the game out the door, you know, yada yada yada. So, you know, if one of us throws out a date, you'd be like, you're crazy for throwing out that date. Well, maybe I am. But these are just guesses, just for fun. So hopefully you guys will maybe post in the comments your guesses too. We're just trying to have fun here. This is nothing. This is not about all the games being developed too slow. I mean, it's just for fun. So
Now, give me a
I'll go
guess.
for, yeah, all right. Oh, I'm with my guess. So my guess for, I do think Alpha 2 will hit Q3, and I'm gonna say it's gonna be in the later end of Q3, so probably towards the end of September. And I'm not gonna say a specific date, but I'm gonna say in the latter, like late September is my guess for Alpha 2
Okay.
release. What about you?
You know, I'm gonna go optimistic, and also this would be the worst time. I'm very busy with work typically in August, but so typically that's when these things happen, is right when I'm at my busiest and I have the least amount of time. So I'm gonna say like maybe like mid-August it'll pop for us. We'll get Alpha 2.
In August? Okay. Just remember, I just want to remind everyone, Q3 is July 1st to the last, or October 1st, or the last day of September, September 30th. So that's Q3 technically. So anywhere between, Alpha 2 could technically launch anywhere between July 1st and September 30th. That's Q3 technically.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think there's obviously a chance for delay, which I mean, I'm okay with. Honestly, definitely when I was younger, I used to get more upset when like games would get delayed. You know, Blizzard was like notorious for like delaying games like multiple times and things like that, and I used to get upset, but I think as I got older, I kind of realized like, you know, that's probably why their games for like so long, you know, were so good, because they would take the extra time they needed. They would delay it a bit to get everything polished and everything right. So like if it does delay, I'm totally fine with that. I know some people will get upset. You know, the meme will be like, is the game ever going to release? You know, it's kind of like the Star Citizen meme at this point. You know, it's been in development for like 10 years. It'll never release. Or it'll release in like 2045, but I don't know. I'm totally fine with that. Like if it gets delayed to Q4 or even early next year, like if that gives us a better experience or more content that we can kind of like get into and like test, I'm totally okay with that.
I'm okay with delays, but I actually think they're gonna hit Q3
I think so
based on what
too.
I'm seeing. I think they're trying really hard to. Now there may be a hiccup or two that could push it a little bit, obviously, because you can't really predict these things. But I do
Yeah.
think they're trying really hard to hit Q3 for Alpha 2.
Oh, yeah.
So, with that being said, I'm end of September. You're mid-August. We're gonna go on to actual release. We're skipping beta here. We're just skipping beta. We are skipping beta. Doesn't matter. Maybe we'll do a after Alpha 2 comes out, maybe we'll do a just a guess on beta 1 or beta, I think it's beta 2 then beta 1, right?
I believe so, yeah.
And then we'll just do a guess for funsies then in another podcast. But for actual release, my window's gonna be a little broad here, but it's not like, oh my God, I'm just gonna guess an entire year. For actual full release for Ashes of Creation, my guess is going to be late 2026, so Q4 2026 or Q1 2027. That's my guess for full release.
Okay, that's pretty good. I was gonna guess. I'm gonna give you a month even. You know, it's gonna be a birthday present to myself. I'm gonna say December 2026 is when we'll see full release. That's my guess.
Okay, that's fair. That's still in the same kind of close to ballpark for me. For me, like Q4,
Yeah, I think it's
That's one I think.
I think it's definitely possible. I wouldn't be surprised maybe if it was like in early 2027, like if there was just some delays, like a last minute kind of thing. But it'll be interesting. I think a lot of it's going to come down to like they're getting a lot of the systems in place, right? We've seen, combat's looking pretty solid. They've already mentioned like performance stuff they're thinking about, which is good. Like net code as well and all that. I think a lot of it's going to come down to, I'm curious to see, like, are we going to get two continents as a full release? Or is it going to be one continent and then maybe an expansion will come out and it'll be the second continent? Is that something they're going to have to like make a decision about? Because world building is going to be pretty time consuming. We've only seen a pretty small part of the world through each developer update, and so we haven't really dug into a lot of the world. So I'm sure a lot of that stuff is going on in the background. It's just not ready to showcase. It's not like a little bit more polished, but yeah, I could definitely see maybe some delays happening. I will be kind of curious to see if they do. I don't want to call it cutting content, because we don't even like in some cases know what the original picture is for 1.0 type release, but I will be curious to see if like does some things, or maybe the ship combat, maybe that's going to be, when the new continent comes out, that'll be an expansion pack or something where we kind of get that, which I would be totally fine with. Like I would rather like them take some extra time if they need it and get the game out like in, 2026 versus like 2028, with one big old continent, which is going to be pretty big in its own right. And then release some additional like, races and maybe like the other continent as well as like ship combat, in the future as like an expansion pack.
All right, so I think Steve is thinking about a internal release date in his head because he's got an opening here because right now the industry is kind of feeding off a couple of MMOs, World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy 14, and you could throw in a couple others in there, probably like Guild Wars 2 and stuff. A good amount of people play them. I mean, they're still around, so enough people must play them to keep them going. So, and we just learned recently that the Riot MMO just got a full reboot, and that's a long ways off. So, Ashes kind of has a little opening here for if it can get out by, I would say, the times, like at least late 2026, early 2027, to, kind of punch its hole in the MMO area. You know what I'm
Yeah,
saying?
could be a big opening too, like with a full reboot of that MMO. I think Guild Wars 3 just got announced, so who knows when that one's going to be coming out.
Yeah, they're in pre-production for Guild Wars 3, so they're not even like I said, Riot MMO just got rebooted, so realistically, if they're doing a full reboot, that could be 2030 by the time that comes out.
Yeah, honestly.
I mean, it could be possible. I mean, I'm not saying it will be 2030, but since it just got a full reboot, that's a long ways off. And then, yeah, I was talking about, what was the other one? What was the other MMO I said? Oh, Guild Wars 3. Yeah, sorry. That one just got announced, which is fine. I'm always down for more Guild Wars. And that one's a long ways off too. So right now we're just mainly seeing staggered MMO releases, and I would say the two biggest ones. Now, I'm biased. I do think Ashes is up there in terms of hype growing for it. It's got the opening now that the Riot MMO has been rebooted. So I think if they can nail that late 2026 release date, or at least 2027, they have a big opening here.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think there's a pretty big opening, and I think it would be really good. Like, I mean, if you're really going up primarily, obviously there's Final Fantasy 14. They're having an expansion, I think, come out pretty soon, if I remember correctly. Maybe there'll be another one in there, but like, and there's be some WoW expansions too, for sure. But a brand new MMO, I think. I mean, we've seen like MMOs launch that at least, going into it seem a lot less potentially feature rich. Like New World, like absolutely like, pop off. If you want to include, because it is an MMO, but it's more of like a action RPG MMO, Lost Ark. Obviously that popped off pretty strong too. Even if you want to throw like Palworld a little bit in there, not really an MMO per se, but some MMO type features, right? You know, there's obviously a massive desire for like this type of game. So it feels like that's why I'm so okay with delay it if you need to. It's so much more important to get things right. It's so much more important to like launch well in the right situation versus, you know, just getting it out there maybe to fit like a certain type of window, because it's like people are hungry, you know. Even though WoW is really popular and I'm sure a lot of people love WoW, there's also people like me that don't play WoW that are really like looking for that MMO to really kind of, you know, meet, you know things that I want to do, like open world, you know, player housing, sandboxy, you know, open world PvP, like those types of things. So you know, there's even if the window gets clouded, maybe another MMO sneaks in, or like there's expansions for other MMOs and things like that, or who knows, maybe the Riot MMO isn't like a total reboot. Maybe they're like reusing a lot of assets, so maybe it'll be out in the same window. I don't know, but I still think like if they make a good MMO, people will flock, because there's obviously such like a desire for it. Like, because you see it with other MMOs coming out, like people just, they want these things bad.
Yeah, and that's just kind of will lead into the state of the MMO industry right now. It's pretty, I do think there's room for significant growth still in the MMO industry, because like you said, we've seen New World launch 900,000 concurrent users on Steam, Lost Ark 1.3 million concurrent users. There is the thirst there for new MMOs and new types of MMOs. Like the old dogs like WoW and Final Fantasy 14 and stuff, like they're not, these Ashes is not aiming to take players away from that. So it really doesn't matter. People are looking for new. Like there will always be that next MMO that catches everyone's, like, just like MMOs are kind of mainstream now. So I think Ashes has, like I said, Ashes has a real opportunity here. It's a sandbox MMO and it's got a lot of cool systems. Can they pull them all off? Probably, hopefully.
Yeah.
And it's just a different beast. Like there are some sandbox MMOs lined up, like Dune Awakening might enter early access this year, but that's more sci-fi-ish.
Blue Protocol.
Yeah, Blue Protocol, but that's more, I think that's more traditional type MMO, yeah, like theme, sure, parky. And then there, what was that? There's Throne and Liberty. But yeah. That may be pay to win-ish, so I might try it out. Like I said, the launch of any MMO can be fun, even if it is pay to win, just because early MMOs are fun. So I probably will play it if it comes out this year, or it comes out anyway.
Did you mention Dune Awakening? Sorry if I missed that.
Yes. Okay, Dune Awakening is definitely interesting. Like, I'm going to have a filler game between now and Ashes. I mean, I'm going to play a lot of Alpha 2, but it's like, you know, it depends how fast the updates come for Ashes. Like, I'm going to dive into Alpha 2 a lot, but it's not like going to be playing it 24/7. You know, it's like, I'm going to play it a lot, but I'm still going to have another game I'm going to kind of bounce off of, and single player games and all that stuff. But like, I do think the MMO industry is doing decent, because we got WoW sub numbers for the first time in a long time, and they got 7 million subs after 20 years. That's pretty good. So I do think MMO, at least the problem with MMOs is the cost up front you have to make to develop them. So yeah. And the length, I would say the average MMO takes like 6+ years now.
Yeah.
Maybe longer, especially as technology keeps getting crazier.
Yeah, I mean, they're just like a different beast, like from a lot of other games take long to develop too, but you know, especially these days, but you know, they're just, you know, because you have to pack them with just so much, right? It's just really, really demanding to kind of meet the needs of an MMO in terms of like end game content, beginning game content, middle game content that you have to kind of keep up with. I was reading an article yesterday. It was on PC Gamer by Lauren Morton, and I thought it was really interesting. I think kind of connects to with what we're talking about here. It was, I think it was, like, the name of it was, like, MMOs still have, like, so much room to grow, like, as a genre. And I completely agree with that. Like, I think that's, like, an incredible point, because there's so much, you know, we get stuck, I think, a lot of times in thinking of, like you kind of mentioned, the traditional MMO, like Blue Protocol. But I think there's so much room for, and the article is kind of talking about the game, Ogon, like Sky, I think it was called like Sky or something like that. I can't remember the full name. But Sky Children of the Light, that's what it was. You know, very non-traditional MMO type where you're in an MMO world. You see other people, but a very, very different. It was like kind of like a platformer, I think, with some other elements. And just like, I think that's really important. Like, I really hope the MMO genre continues to grow beyond just like the traditional MMO. Like, Dune Awakening sounds really interesting, potentially, right? With some things, it's kind of like MMO light. I thought, and it did not work out. I thought what, you know, the people that made Ark, they kind of had like another group of folks or another company, right? They kind of took Ark's infrastructure and like they did reuse a lot of assets and stuff like that and kind of the look of the game. And they pushed that into being Atlas. And like that was like an MMO, much more in a true sense. And like I thought like that was a really good idea. Like make a game that, you know, can kind of stand on its own and then, you know, then develop that into like an MMO. Like that makes, you know, because, you know, the developers can make money off the actual like initial game and then eventually, you know, they have a lot of the technology in place to hopefully again propel that into an actual MMO without having to do so much work. You know, a lot of the legwork that goes into an MMO is just crazy, but if you're kind of jumping, even if you knife like a nice jumping point, then hopefully it's not quite as bad. You know, maybe Dune is kind of in that like style, right? Obviously, Funcom, the developer, they made the Conan kind of survival, again, MMO adjacent, not quite MMO, like kind of using that and kind of picking up with that and using that maybe. That's something like kind of look at. But yeah, I think there's a ton of room for MMOs, and I really hope we start to, because obviously, again, the thirst for an MMO is massive. Like even Helldivers is kind of. Helldivers 2 is really kind of MMO-ish, right? With some of the stuff that happens, like with the Galactic War, you feel like you're part of something bigger, right? And so, like, you know, getting to see like those types of things pop in is really cool. And I think there's definitely a massive hunger for like MMOs, traditional and otherwise.
Yeah, and that's also evolving the term MMO also. It's like the traditional term of MMO is like vanilla WoW, EverQuest, those games back in the day where you picked a server, you played on it, you knew everyone on your server. That was the traditional definition of MMO. You have a lot of players on a server, you knew everyone, you knew the people on your servers. That's the traditional definition of MMO for us older players, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That definition is kind of evolving a little bit. Like I said, you said with Helldivers 2, you don't technically see more than four players in a game, but like I said, the Galactic War kind of like makes it feel MMO-ish because you're all contributing to it. So, which is cool. Like, I'm not against any of these cool things. I don't consider Helldivers 2 an MMO, but with the Galactic War, it feels MMO-ish, and it's cool to have these goals to work with. Like I said, it's like an MMO-ish like goal. I wouldn't really consider it an MMO because you've only got four people in a game and you play with randos, or I mean you could play with people you know, but it doesn't fit the MMO, but it has MMO like systems in it, which is fine. And I don't know if we know if Dune Awakening is going to be a full-fledged MMO. They're saying it is. It's not going to be like Conan. It's going to have like big servers. Unlike Conan, I think had a small cap. I don't know how many people could play on a server in Conan, but usually for me, an MMO is thousands of players on a server that you know you can see. What the that's the definition of MMO for me. What other people kind of like I said, Helldivers 2 is a great example of expanding, I guess, the MMO genre, but like keeping it simple, I guess. Like you all work towards a goal, but you know, you never see more than X amount of players in a game, like four people in a game. So yeah, I mean, it's just that we're talking about like the industry and whole, like games as a service can also fall in this category also. They're kind of like what you would call MMO lights, like the Division 2. You would see people running around, but it was more instanced. It wasn't like a full-fledged MMO. Like this, the term MMO has so many definitions these days, but if you really want the old school term, it's thousand players on a server. You know these people. You interact with them all the time. Like it's like the old school days. So That's how I kind of feel about MMOs, and Ashes is going down that traditional route of MMO. But I'm not against like these new concepts of MMOs either.
No, definitely. And like, yeah, I kind of like call them like MMO lights. Like, you know, it kind of, I think it happened a lot with like survival games. Because you saw like a lot of games with like the massively multiplayer tag. Like, I noticed it on Steam a lot, like Ark Survival Evolved. You know, it was considered like massively multiplayer. And this was even before like, you know, servers were interconnected. And, you know, because you get like 100 people on there, maybe 150, you know, depending on the server, which is a lot. And it did give you kind of that MMO feel in the sense like you knew a lot of the people on the server, like you know, like the different tribes and stuff like that. And so like that was kind of, it gave you that MMO feel. And like, I feel like a lot of those games have become really popular. Obviously, like, you know, Ark, Rust, DayZ, they kind of the MMO light, right? So again, I think that just again feeds into like this idea of people want that shared space. They want to, again, know people and like play with people that they know and kind of like get that shared space from an MMO. And so I don't know, it's an exciting time, right? Because we are getting some like MMO adjacent things. Again, kind of like, again, I mentioned Helldivers 2, like again, not an MMO, but again, it gives you some sense of like community belonging. Like, I love going on to like Reddit or Twitter or wherever and just like seeing people like talking about like, oh, like I can't believe we lost that planet. You know what I mean? So there's kind of like that sense of like collective like experience, which I think is really important in like an MMO. Obviously, in a game that's not an MMO, but they're still able to kind of hit on some of those notes, which I think is really cool. And something I hope we can hope we get to see more of, honestly, going forward. You know, as we kind of dig into, you know, Ashes, the traditional, but also like some other games that kind of fill that niche too.
Yeah, and actually, because Helldivers 2 is such a smash and a success, we may see more of this going forward
I hope so.
in terms of game, because it's the way they do it in that game is absolutely superb. Like, I mean, I'm not saying Ashes should have any of this, but it's also something to think about. Like in a traditional MMO, you have personal goals, but you also, like, Ashes will have, like, more team-oriented goals, like upgrading your nodes and stuff. That kind of feeds into why Helldivers is doing so well, like the Galactic War. That kind of, like you said, it's like MMO light, but makes it feel more MMO-ish because you're all participating in something gigantic. And I do think it's a great direction, and hopefully more technology can enable cool stuff like that. If maybe Ashes can add just more. I just like stuff like that, just like where everyone contributes and has fun, really.
I like feeling like I'm just a part of something bigger, you know, like just I'm contributing to some greater cause than, you know, just myself. I mean, obviously progression is a big part of that. Like, I love, like, I think it comes like on a personal level. Like, I love progression, like whether that's in Tarkov and I'm progressing my character, leveling up, getting access to more things. Whether that's like in a nutritional MMO, I'm leveling up and getting access to more skills. Or you can even think of it in terms of like, I'm leveling up, I'm getting access to maybe an Ashes, like an apartment or maybe a freehold or whatever. I can, you know, progressing in that way. And then there is kind of like the overall sense of progression. And I'll be kind of curious because I think that'll be a massive part of Ashes, is that kind of overarching, I don't call it a meta, but like I almost think of like EVE Online. Like, there's a lot of like politics and things going on in terms of like, you know, territory controlled. You know, I expect with like nodes and things like that, you know, that's going to be kind of a factor too, and castles and things kind of like that. But like, that's always really fun, right? That gives you kind of like an added bonus to everything that you do, is like there's a purpose, there's a meaning behind it, there's a mechanic behind it, and that kind of drives, you know, that sense of belonging. You know, like, hey, I'm doing my part for the cause, you know, and you get that from Helldivers too. Like, you know, all the memes of, you know, like, ah, get the fascist bugs, you know, stuff like that is really kind of, you know, is cool too, because that kind of gives you like a sense of, you know, community as well, on top of all the other stuff that you're kind of doing too.
Yeah, and that's where the content, like, not, I'm not saying all the content, but that's where some of the best content from a game can come from, is the player-driven drama. Like, and EVE Online, I would just go to video game sites or whatever, and I'd be like, there'll be an article there now and then. Oh, big guild betrays other big clan or whatever, and I would read about it, and it was just so damn interesting to read. But I never touched that game ever. But like, The fact that that exists is just so cool, and I hope that happens a lot in Ashes. And that's, like I said, that's player created content. Like X node wants to fight Y node because, we went over this before, right? Because they want more territory, or maybe the guild that leads this node's tax is too high. So we went over before, like a revolt happens, and we take it over, we all band together and throw them out or something. Just silly stuff like that is fun. And then hopefully the devs can add more tools over time to encourage that, or just, I don't know, expand it in new directions.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be really exciting, all the player narratives, like kind of also about those games I mentioned, like Rust, DayZ, like a big thing that like I think's come out of them is like kind of creating your own story, whether that's like on a personal level. Like, I can think of so many instances in DayZ, especially like the original mod, which I played like with some friends for like thousands of hours. Like just all the crazy stories that I remember coming out, like, oh man, like I remember we got a helicopter and like there was a rival group and then we like blew up their helicopter, like all these crazy things, like these stories that kind of emerge just from like player gameplay is really cool. So I'm really excited to see like if there is kind of like that political nature, like dynamic going on, like kind of EVE Online-ish, what will come out of that for sure. But I don't know, did
And
you go
it
ahead?
just feels better also. Like
Yeah.
when you are a part of a story that's not not that's something that devs didn't create, like it just feels better. It's like I'm participating in this big battle between this node and that node in Ashes because this guy did that and this guy said that and they all got in each other's face or whatever. And then you're like, now I'm in a big old battle because of these two doofuses, right? And then, or maybe you're out in the wild and you're ganking people or just doing something silly and it leads to this big war and you'd be like, wow, look what I started, right? It just feels better because you're like, I'm in this because someone did X, Y, and Z, not because the developers was like, here's a new raid, go raid in there, kill the bosses,
Yeah.
then wait till the next raid comes out. Wait till the next raid comes out. Wait till the next expansion comes out.
Yeah.
It's more organic.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I want that.
No,
That's more
definitely.
fun to me.
I
Way
think
more fun to me.
it's more open, it's more dynamic, it's more, we there's just kind of like that buzzword emergent gameplay, things kind of popping out of, player driven decisions and stuff like that. That leads to such, a better game too, because it's not limited to like the quarterly update schedule, like you said, like new raid. Okay, I guess I can go do that for a bit. It's much more based on, player action, which is going to be a lot more, fluid, consistent, quicker, because players are going to be obviously playing every day. Updates might not be coming, maybe weekly, monthly, quarterly, whatever. So, there's just a lot more opportunity there for things to kind of go down and happen. So the big thing is the biggest thing is, that type of situation is allowing players to do that, like have an impact, whether that's, through castle sieges or like control of nodes based on the guilds and things like that, alliances. Or if it's, also obviously I kind of call it like regulation or maybe just game mechanics. Like how do you make sure it doesn't go too far though, where people aren't getting like mega griefed and things like that. So it's a tentative balance, but it is, I think, something that can lead to probably like the best and most memorable. Like I remember, obviously I remember there's games I've played like for the story and like the stuff like that. And I remember my first kind of playthrough of, WoW and kind of leveling up and things like that. But the second or third time I did it, I don't really remember anything about it. So like that's where like the moments come that are so special. Like and I've mainly experienced it through, games like DayZ and stuff like that, where like I have so many specific memories of like, oh my gosh, I remember like, when this happened or this crazy fight happened, so it's there's so much more memorable and there's so many more things that can happen that aren't just kind of like fixed and set in stone too.
Yeah, and with Ashes having less instance content too, it's going to be more fun because you're going to see people fighting over stuff. Like in the early days of WoW, that was probably the most fun I had because like they had world bosses and stuff, and like you'd gather your players on your server on your faction, and you'd be like, "Well, dang it, let's get the Alliance to kill this time. So we would round everyone up. We'd all be talking in trade chat in Ironforge or whatever city anyone was in. We'd round up as many people we could, make as many raid groups as we could, and then we would go out there and fight the horde to tag so we could tag the boss. That was organic gameplay. Now, it was on a much smaller scale because you're just fighting over a silly boss, but like with the amount of systems Ashes have, you could fight over territory, nodes, bosses, hopefully, maybe even dungeons because some of them aren't instants. So that's what is going to be really crazy and fun, in my opinion. Now, yeah, like you said, the Griefen could be a problem is like, big guild just camps dungeons so no one else could do it. So hopefully they find ways around that and, and hopefully the player base will engage in these things because it'll be fun.
Yeah, definitely. And so as we kind of get towards the end of the podcast, what better way to maybe our last topic talking about end game content? This is something I really wanted to talk about. Because it's such an interesting thing. Like I've always said, and I know like I'm not a game designer or anything like that. I know there's certain things you can't do in game development. But I've always kind of like wondered like why MMOs don't kind of have like what I would call like a top-down approach to like making an MMO. And what I kind of mean by that is like why not design for like the end game content first versus, the kind of more I don't know if I'd call it limited experience of like, leveling up. Like, things like that or kind of like the experiences you get through leveling up, and things like that. Like why wouldn't an MMO really put all like I don't know, maybe 70% of their time in making content for the end game, because I think that's like what most people care about, right? As much as I love playing World of Warcraft at release, and I played Classic when it came out just to kind of have some nostalgia. It at the end of the day, like you do your you level up and it's an amazing experience and stuff like that. But like after that, after the first time, it's kind of just like whatever, right? And the second time, the third time, whatever, I'm just trying to level up quickly as possible, trying to get my character to 60 or whatever. That way I can get to the end game really with this new character. And so like I think that's going to be the interesting thing with Ashes, because I've already seen some stuff that's really promising to, the focus on player economy that can offer a ton of potential for end game, as well as things like the Caravan PvP. Right, that seems like something that could have a lot of end game potential. And so I don't know. I'm not really sure where I don't really necessarily have a question per se, but I'm just kind of curious to like think about like what you think too about like, MMOs that have come out recently or like things like that. Like I thought like the Old Republic, like the playthrough experience, because every character had like kind of their own story and there's like a lot more control and the story is more interesting. Like I thought it was great. Like I played through it and I loved it, but then there really wasn't anything to do at the end of the game beyond what we already kind of had. Like it was battlegrounds, like in PvP, and it was even I mean at the time of release there was no player housing and stuff like that, so there just wasn't much to do, and so it just didn't capture my attention. I'm curious to see like kind of like what you think about that for like MMOs and like end game content in general.
Well, I think you just found the biggest flaw in theme park MMOs is that the developers have to feed you content. And like I said, when WoW first came out, the initial journey was amazing. 1 through 60 was so much fun. And it's like, first time was great, but then doing it again was like, you want to fall asleep, right? You did it once. Like, a lot of people did everything, did all the quests and stuff. It's like, I don't want to do all that again, right? The first time is always the best. The second and third time, eh. And then you keep going on after that, forget it. Like, it's just a chore at that point. So, Ashes is a little different beast because of it's a sandbox MMO. So, players can create some of the content, like you said, the drama, the node wars, the castle sieges. Like, some of that is developed by the devs, but, the coordination about who will do what over with, who will do what with what node and stuff like that is all up to the player. So that does ease it a little bit. But you are right. Like, if you want to level an alt in Ashes, it shouldn't be as punishing as the first time you level. The first time leveling can be a little long, right? But once you have one max level character, you should have like an account-wide buff where all your alts can level faster. But again, I really has to we have to see how it plays in a sandbox MMO, and they might not want that for reasons. They could screw the economy up. But I mean, like I said, we don't know enough to really see how that would, like I said, I gotta see it in action, right? There are remedies out there, and MMOs have been fighting this for a long time, like World of Warcraft, Modern WoW, right? Anyone could just jump in the game and level up really fast, get to end game.
Yeah.
But in Ashes, since some of the content is just so organic, and player, like the devs give you the tools, and the players can kind of decide the outcome to an degree, like fighting over nodes and stuff like that, and choosing when caravans go out. It's I gotta see how it plays out, because like if leveling it becomes a chore and alts are gonna be like, if they don't make it feel like alts are absolutely necessary in Ashes, then I won't be upset that they keep leveling long. Maybe as the game gets older, they should lower the leveling speed down so newer players don't feel left out. But as long as I don't feel like I have to switch characters or play alts, like if I want to play an alt, it's for my own personal time and my own personal fun. But if there's enough player created content and chaos and all this stuff going on at max level where I don't feel like I have to reroll an alt, right? Then it doesn't really bother me, the level and speed. That first journey should be, and then lead into the end game, and then I should just, log on and see what's going on after I fell asleep, what kind of shit stirred up overnight.
Yeah, I think like that's a good point too, is if you have a good end game, then like unless you just want, well, I guess one of two things, unless like you rolled I guess a primary starting archetype that you just didn't like, that you ended up not maybe liking, or maybe you got into the end game and you just didn't enjoy it as much as you thought as you would, or you thought you would, or you, I don't know, you just want to experience a different class or something like that, then like ideally, you don't want to reroll. You don't want to make an alt because you're spending more time focusing on your main character, right? Whether that's, and I think that's the important thing, is like having meaningful in-game content is what that is all about, right? So in Escape from Tarkov, right? There is a meaningful end game. There's a lot of stuff that you can do. Some people just like the leveling up experience. Like I love it. Like I don't spend as much time in in-game. But it's it's hit or miss for a lot of people. Like a lot of people do love the end game, and so it's all about kind of creating something interesting. I do think, I hope, my hope is the player economy, right, is going to be a big thing. Like this notion of that, I'm constantly trying to earn more gold and I'm trying to get more money, because that can lead to things that are going to benefit me, whether it's like buying cool mounts, or whether it's going to buy cool weapon, whatever. And the hope is kind of that, that stuff is in place, and really I think for a lot of it will be, for me, is the PvP and like the political kind of systems, like how is all that gonna kind of play out. I think too, for, and I imagine, because I would like to be like in a smaller guild, like how are smaller guilds gonna fit into the end game content? Are they truly, and we had a podcast about this talking about the guilds, how smaller guilds should we'll get access to a larger part of the progression path, progression tree, skill tree that guilds have access to. Like they, you should be able to do more, specialize in more, do more things. And so, are those roles that potentially in a smaller guild, like because you can put more points into things, are those going to be valuable into the end game? Because if they're not, I think it'll happen kind of like it did with Atlas, where like you ended up just stopping playing because there was just like these mega guilds and alliances, and like it didn't feel like you could really do anything, and like your whole struggle was just to like not get all your stuff wiped like every night, and that's not really fun. So I'm curious to see like how that will play out. Is are there going to be kind of roles and things smaller guilds can kind of engage in and still feel like they're part of like the bigger, I don't know, dynamic that's going on within the game?
Yeah, it's just hopefully it all blends together well. Like, I mean, me personally, if I could just PvP only and be a part of that, that's all I would do. Because that's what I did in Dark Age of Camelot. Like, I didn't touch any of the. Like, I leveled up. When I first started playing, I played on a traditional server, and then I went onto the free for all server. And then you could just level up by PvP in, and I never touched PvE, rarely, until they put out an expansion where you had to. But, like, I don't think, like, if you love leveling alts and that's all you play Ashes for, is you want to level every class archetype to max level, I don't think you should be, like, I don't think the game should change for me, right? Because you like doing something. Like, if that's what you want to do, do it. But I do think probably there are other MMOs that will probably be better for that. Like World of Warcraft, like that's an alt game because the devs feed you content. So like you get max geared on one character, you're just like, well, done here, go level in the next one or go gear up the next one. That's how that game kind of functions. But like I'm not against the game having 9 million alts, just don't force me to go down that path because I prefer playing on one tune. Like I'm not saying discourage people from leveling alts. I'm just saying like hopefully there's enough stuff so I don't have to. But if people want to level a crap load of alts because that's just how they like to enjoy the game, let them. You know, like just make sure it's balanced. Like if they want to play lots of different classes and stuff, that's fine. But also make sure I don't have to do that, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing too with endgame content is like making sure there's more than one type of thing to do. Like for me, somebody who generally doesn't enjoy raiding, like that's why I'm not really even though I know World of Warcraft is, you know, still great MMO, it's just like that's why I'll probably never play it because it is primarily geared towards folks that like to do PvE and raid, right? It's not to say there's not PvP content, but it's just not, you know, driven by that. And so I think that's going to be the important thing too. And you know, this is difficult to do, obviously, because you have to, you know, when you're just catering towards the PvE player, that's a lot easier because you know, all right, we just spend a lot of time working on, you know, making dungeons and you know, gear and you know, and stuff like that, gear chases and things like that. But you know, it's a lot harder when you're doing it for multiple types of players. You know, that's why I thought Star Wars Galaxies was such a good MMO because even in maybe if it wasn't super in depth, like there was the entertainer class, right? Which really it was just like a social class. You know, it was you go into cantinas, you play an instrument, you dance, whatever, and like you just talk to people. And you know, some people love that. And there wasn't even like a lot of like, you know, work that had to go into that necessarily, right? You had to make abilities and things that they could do and ways they could level up. But beyond that, it was really just like, all right, let's just make a class, got some abilities, you can buff people and, you know, give you some benefits. And that's kind of it. That's the social player. Like for the person that's just here to like socialize, that's what they can do. And for the player that was more, you know, into crafting, right? There's a whole lot of things they could do, like player housing and mining and resources, right? So there's a lot of depth to it, but you know, I think that's going to be really important in Ashes too. Is again, you don't want to initially cater the game to every type of play style. It's just not going to happen. But you do want to have multiple ways in the end game specifically that people can have something that, you know, has a good loop to it. They can keep continuously doing it to continuously engage in, you know. So I'll be curious to see how that all kind of works out going forward.
It's how it all blends together in the end. So like if the crafter's like doing their craft and it's like how do they, you know, help the PvPers or PvEers or even the people in the inns, maybe they could craft musical instruments for them. Like it's like how it all blends together. Like so if it all blends together pretty well, then we should not no specific player should have a problem. It's just how we get there.
And kind of like what the push is too, like what's, you know, that's why I think the player economy is so important if it truly is 100% player run, because like that's always going to be a big push, like to make money, because again with money you can do stuff. You know, maybe it's like you make an alt. You do want to level up an alt. Well, it's like, okay, let me just on my main character, I could just buy them a bunch of gear and make things a lot easier for them. So it's not as bad of an experience. It's quicker. You know, I can buy them armor, I can buy them swords, whatever. And so like that's going to be like a big part of it is, you know, money and kind of like what can money do and things like that. So it'll be really fun to see. I'm excited to kind of dig my teeth into it. And again, I don't know if we're going to get really that much access to a lot of the end game content in Alpha 2. I mean, I would assume maybe
It's
not.
not all going to be there. It's not even all the classes won't be there either. So we're going to see it flesh out over the length of Alpha 2, but like I said, this hopefully enough is there so we can start giving them feedback and be like, "Oh, well this system doesn't blend well with this system," and they'll change it, right? Maybe crafters get screwed over in early Alpha 2 and be like, Well, oopsies. Well, we thought it would work out this way, but it ended up not working out good that way, and they changed it, right? So, like, people shouldn't get mad. It's an alpha, meaning the content's not done. So, if crafting sucks and when Alpha 2 comes out, well, just say, well, it doesn't work out well, and give them constructive feedback of how it could work better. If PvP sucks, say, like, well, it's too zergy. Well, like, how can they fix it? Like, give them ideas. Don't just say it sucks. Give them ideas how to fix it.
Yeah, for sure. We definitely hit on that, I think, quite a bit. Constructive criticism, good. That's what we want to see for sure.
Yeah, it's fine. And if you get frustrated, like, I might be playing Alpha 2 and I might get frustrated and be like, oh, come on, man. I mean, I may say things I don't want, but I'm not gonna go up to the devs and be like, yeah, this sucks. I'm gonna be like, well, I think X, Y, and Z isn't working. Like, maybe you could look into this or debate it on the forums or even debate it in our Discord or anything on the Discord. Like, look at what the problem is. Debate with other people if they agree, and then say, "Hey devs, we think this is a problem." And then they'll be like, "Okay, you're right. This is a problem. It doesn't work out the way we want." And hopefully they can like start lining up some fixes for it.
Yeah, for sure. And I will say too, just kind of adding on, like I'm a big believer in like the well, depends on the person, but like for me, usually it's like the 15-second rule. This happens a lot in Tarkov where I die in some strange way and I'm just like, oh my God, this game, like, and then like I get over it really fast and move on. So that's
Well, yeah,
usually.
people get frustrated. It's like, anyone in who's gonna be streaming Alpha 2 and like get one shot by a mistake, that is frustrating. But it could just be a bug. Like you could say out loud, "Dang it, this sucks. Like I just got one shotted." But be like, okay, take a breath and be like, okay, it could be a bug. It could be an accidental tune-in problem they goofed up on. Alpha 2, that like Steve has been saying, Alpha 2 is going to be messy. It's not gonna be balanced. It's not gonna be anything. Expect things to be broken. So just go with that in mind and then help them tune these systems better. Like, I expect PvP to be an absolute crap show when Alpha 2 launches because that's the game's not gonna be balanced. So I know I'm gonna be watching. I'm expecting it. Expect everything to be broken and then help them fix it.
Yeah, for sure. I think that kind
Because we are
of,
testers.
yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a test environment for sure.
And
Is
you
there
really can't, yeah, I'm just gonna say one more thing. And you really, the devs can't really test this all themselves. They need a good chunk of players in there to see what is wrong with the game. And, then give them the feedback. That's all. I just want people to
Yeah.
have tempered expectations because, like, people expect too much these days. They expect, like, I mean, I guarantee you there's at least a couple people out there expect Alpha 2 to be, like, perfection because they have silly ways of thinking, but,
Yeah, I can see both
whatever.
sides of it. And I have your mindset for sure. But I did run into when I was writing articles for TechRaptor and I did a little preview for a game and game wasn't that great. And I wasn't like ripping the game or anything. I just was like, I think there's some issues, like there's a lot of things going on with the game that maybe will get fixed in the future. But it and the my editor came back to me and was like, well, the developer saw this and they obviously they weren't like super happy and I was and like I felt bad, obviously. And again, I wasn't like blatantly ripping it or saying it was garbage or anything like that. I was just saying there's some problem. There's a lot of problems in the game right now. It's early access. But the thing that like he brought up that was a good point, I thought that I took to heart was like, hey, like, they're charging money for this, right? Like it's okay to be like if you need to be critical, like in you're doing your job, like so it's okay like that. If things aren't if it's buggy, if there's issues, like point those things out because remember they are charging you money for it. It is a product, it is a service. So like for people out there that are going to be like, hey, like this game has a lot of problems, I think it's okay to say that. I don't think that's I think we're just trying to encourage like it's okay to say that, but it just it's more helpful to when we get into the Alpha 2 experience, like, hey, this if you want to say, hey, this sucks, and Stevens also mentioned that, like, hey, you could tell us that, but like, let us know why, then hopefully we can, fix it, right? So it's I think it's okay to like if you're spending your money, and a lot of people spend a lot of hard-earned money on Alpha 2. It was not cheap. I think it's okay to like express yourself if you're not happy with it. But the added bonus is if you take it a step further, is just saying like what could they do maybe better in your opinion?
Yeah, exactly. You got to spend a minimum of $250 to get an Alpha 2. So like Steve is trying to set you up for that it's going to be, messy at the start. Just be mindful of that and try and help them. If you really care about the game Ashes of Creation enough to spend $250 to get an Alpha 2, then you should be mindful and careful enough to know that, it's going to be a little messy at launch when Alpha 2 comes out. And just, don't point out the obvious things to the devs. Point out the things that they don't know about. Like, oops, I found a bug. I found a duping bug. Or I found a bug where my ability does too much damage. And like, if there's not a post on the forums, post it there so the devs know. Like, point out the things that they don't know about. If performance, like FPS, is a problem, they know about it. Like, th that doesn't help. Like, maybe post your specs on there instead, like, to help them to f maybe fix the problem for those, like, whatever hardware you have. Like, if you don't have a 4090, performance might not be as good on a 2080, right? So like, point out specific things, not like, oh, FPS is bad.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Is there anything else you wanted to dig into, or should we call it a episode on the quarterly catch-up?
Did we I was just gonna say maybe we could just like try and guess what the next dev update might be, just
Oh, okay.
randomly, just
Is
for
this
lulz.
wishful thinking or what I think it'll actually be?
Yeah, no, just try and put out a guess of what you think April's dev update will be. Just
Okay, the last one was a fighter archetype, so I'm gonna. I don't know if it'll be another class kind of preview.
an archetype preview.
Yeah, archetype preview. So I don't know. I'm trying to think what else. I don't know. Maybe it'll be like a castle siege preview. It'll give us like some insight into like the castle nodes and like the castle sieging.
You think they'll do another PvP preview?
Maybe. I mean, it's been a few months since they did the caravan PvP updates, so maybe they'll give us some more PvP, or maybe it will be like something PvE related. That probably would be. I guess we have seen some stuff like side
Well,
questing
commissions
and
were kind of
yeah, the
PvE related,
commissions.
so.
So yeah, maybe I don't know. Maybe they're gonna get loop back to PvP. That'll be my hope at least as someone who loves PvP.
Obviously, I'm always down for that, but I think they may do something. I'm probably going to be wrong, but I think they're going to do something actually based on maybe crafting or something, because we haven't really heard a lot about that. But I guess we'll see. That's kind of wishful thinking on me.
No, I would love to see that too.
I think they will do something based on crafting because they haven't really touched up on it much, and I think they kind of do kind of like theme updates, but I think they may do some like. They may do crafting, but on top of it, they will do like how it works in the world, like with some PvE related stuff, but
Yeah.
or even PvP related stuff with it. But
Definitely.
that's my guess, crafting, but with how it interacts with the world a little bit.
Okay, I'll be happy with that one too for sure. All right, well, yeah, we're excited. We're definitely going to be excited to see and see how everything goes. So, next week, our topic for next week is going to be we're going to be discussing open world PvP. So, if you're interested in PvP or maybe you hate PvP and you just kind of want to get some information about it and I can kind of get our thoughts on it and what we think about it and again, obviously, we covered a little bit of PvP today, but it's always going to be on our mind. We're both PvP players, so always expect some PvP conversation, I think, to come up at some point. But thanks so much for joining. Again, we are, of course, available on YouTube. It seems to be where a lot of our folks are coming in. So if you're interested, again, join us on YouTube. Subscribe. I might even need to start saying it at the beginning of the podcast. Get some folks subscribing. Obviously, like it if you enjoyed it. Comment. We got some comments from some folks. Some really great comments that you guys put out there. So again, the more you can put out there, if you want to ask us questions, if we get enough people asking questions, maybe we could do like a Q&A at the end too. Who knows? Also join our Discord. The description should be in the whether it's a YouTube description or one of the podcast services where you can find us. Leave us a review on podcast services. We would love to know what you're thinking about us and what we can do better, as always. But we really appreciate you joining us, and we will of course see you next time. Thanks for joining us.
See you next time.